Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar.
ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمات ورديت لكم الإسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير نشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Wa nafsum wa ma thawaha fa'alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the mightiest has spoken the truth. I'd like to add another ayah to today's khutbah, inshallah. Surah 67, Surah Al-Mulk, ayah 2. And it reads, أعوذ بالله الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن العامل عاملا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. And an expression of the first reading, which was the Surah Al-Shams, that is chapter 91 and the 7th through the 10th ayah. An expression of it is, by the soul and the place that has been given in the system and its enlightenment as to its fujur and its taqwa, truly he succeeds that purifies it, and he fails who neglects it. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. And an expression of the second ayah of Surah Al-Mulk 67 is, he who created the death and the life, that he may try which of you is best in conduct, and he is the exalted in might, oft forgiven, that is oft forgiving. Sadaqallahu alazim. These verses, dear brothers and sisters, they express the object of the game of life. This is the fifth installment on the subject, taqwa and the game of life. Taqwa and the game of life. And last week we talked about games and metagames. Games and metagames. Metagame is the game that encompasses all games. A game is something that's played inside of a metagame, for example. I'm not going to go all the way back over that territory. The bottom line is that there are individual games, and then there's the metagame, the game in which all those other games are played. We use the example of Uber Corporation, and the drivers. The Uber Corporation is playing the metagame. The drivers are playing the game. We talked about NFL owners. NFL owners are playing the metagame, the game of owning teams, whereas the players and the individuals inside of that particular organization, they are playing the game that goes with their name, put it that way. The physical therapists, the doctors, the tight ends, the centers, the quarterbacks, everybody is playing the game that goes with their name. And so while they're doing it inside of the bigger game, theirs is the game, and what they are cooperating with and what they are subordinated to is the metagame, okay? What else did we use? Oh, we used the plumber example. We had Rescue Router, which operates like Uber. And so the individual plumbers, they contract with Rescue Router, the franchise, the brand name, and they do their individual service under the flag of Rescue Router. Rescue Router is playing the meta game. The individual plumber is playing that individual game. Now, what is this? And Al-Islam, as we've expressed, Al-Islam is the metagame of life. There's the game of life. Al-Islam is the metagame of life. Meaning that, alhamdulillah, last week with the help of our regular contributors to the Blog Talk broadcast, we came up with this trilogy. For every aim, there's a game. For every role, there's a goal. And for every team, there's a dream. All right? So as soon as you identify an aim, you've identified the game. As soon as you, whatever the goal is, that is the name of that game. Regardless of what the label is, okay, soccer. Soccer, right? Now, you have all been exposed, and you know when I say soccer, you know what I'm talking about, right? Now, but now if you're somewhere else and you say football, you go to Europe and you say football, right? They're going to think soccer, even though you may be thinking about the NFL. They're going to think soccer because that's football. In order to make it plain to them what you're talking about, you'd have to say American football. You have to say American football. Oh, American football. You mean the one where only periodically does the ball touch the foot. You know, so that's a different game, right? So the point is, in terms of once you know what the aim is, so the label I've just said, the label is soccer, right? And so unless you really know what soccer is, that name particularly doesn't really tell. No, I got to tell you, in Arabic it's Qaratu Qadam. Literally it means football. That's what soccer is in Filugata Arabia. But the point that I'm trying to make is that generally speaking, the name actually tells you the game, but in absence of the name for a particular game, all you have to do is know what the aim is. Once you know what the aim is, then you know what the game is. And what's important about knowing what the game is, then you know what you're supposed to do in order to win the game. If you don't know the game you're playing, you don't know how to win, right? But once you know the game you're playing, then you can, inshallah, the more you learn about the game, which we're going to talk about more in just a moment, the more you learn about the game and the more you practice the aims of the game and become more accomplished in the aims of the game, then the more you win, right? That's just games in general, right? Let me bring it home to make sure that we're clear. Are you married? Are you married? Then you're also playing the marriage game. The marriage game. All right? The marriage game, okay, but you got to ask yourself, in order to win that game, you got to ask yourself, what's the aim of the game? What's the aim of the game? Now, if you don't really know the aim of the game, then also you don't know how to play the game and win. But if you know the aim of the game, okay, that's the aim of the game. Okay, now you need to know, okay, how do you achieve that aim in this game? How do you achieve the aim of marriage in the game of marriage? Well, then that's when you need models and information and know what the rules are and know how things are played, what's inbounds, what's out of bounds, etc. Business, whatever. Business, what kind of business are you in? Okay, all you got to do is ask yourself, what's the aim of the particular business that you're in? You're an accountant, let's just say. You're an accountant. If you're an accountant, okay, you can say first you're in the accountant game, right? That's just by the name. Name, accountant, game, accountant. But you really don't know the game until you know what the aim of the game is. What is the real aim of an accountant? What is their real aim? Sit down, think about it, and or study it, research it, whatever, and then you'll come up with, oh, this is the account. Okay, so then you, in order to win the accounting game, you need to know what the aim of the game is and the best way to get there, right? And let me hit this as we go on. It's like one of the ways to get yourself into the position of winning that you want to be in, one of the things that you have to practice doing, whatever your game is, doesn't matter, whatever, okay? What you have to do is find the one who's best at it. Who's the best one that ever has done it, right? Because once you find out who is the best one that has ever done it, now that's your model. That's your model. And so you model, you emulate, you imitate where it's appropriate what they do, and in that way you'll be, quote-unquote, likely to be more successful because you're modeling yourself after the one who has done it the best, okay? And you can get good enough at whatever it is that you're doing to where you can actually change the game. We talked about Dick Fosbury and the way that people used to do high jump, and then when Dick Fosbury started doing high jump the way he was doing, now everybody goes over the way that Dick Fosbury did it. But he changed the game, and then that game is what it is. Now somebody else is going to have to come do something else in order to change the game again. But that being said, it's only to point out that most progress is made in the world is made by imitation, not by innovation. Innovation is good when it's the right innovation. So the innovation, when the innovation is done, then you don't have to reinvent the wheel. All you have to do is imitate the best action relative to that, right? So in terms of the game of the metagame of Al-Islam, right? All right. Al-Islam, I like to use this pyramidal kind of structure. Just understand that inside of Al-Islam, for every name, for every role, there's a game, there's a goal. So I'm a father, husband, I'm a brother, and any other role that I have. If I'm in business, whatever the case may be, that each one of them is a role. Each one of them has a name. Each one of them is a game. In the serious sense of it. So what we have found and what we understand and what we're trying to put across is that Al-Islam is the way to live life perfectly in every area, in every area. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a model for all the roles that we have to play. If we're a married person, he's a model for people who are married. Business person, he's a model for people who are in business. Judgments that need to be made, he's a model for people who are judges. War needs to be carried out, he's a model for how to carry out war. Friendship, he's a model for friendship. Trust, he's a model for trust. You see what I'm saying? He's Rajul Kamil. He's the perfect human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him to us for him to model for us and give us information for every aspect of our life. So as we said last week, and I'll emphasize it again today, or reiterate it today, if you're not familiar with the seerah, the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you don't really have a model to help you make decisions in everyday factors of your life. If you're going on living, and you have to do things. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-deen mu'ammala, The religion is in behavior. But mu'amala also means, that was somebody's translation, mu'amala means transactions. It means transactions. The beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him first and raised him up first from among the ummiyyah, the unlettered people, right? And they were people who were so savage that at the time that Alexander the Great was making his moves in the world, when he came to the Arabs, when he came to that area that we know to be where the Arabs lived, he said, these people are beasts in human form. There's no dignity, no honor in defeating them. And he moved right on over there and went on to China. Because they were already self-defeated. We talk about jahiliyyah. They were not evolved. But having said those two words, I'll say something and keep going. Ummiyyah still means people who are close to nature. It doesn't just mean ignorant. It means people who are close. Ties to mother. There are people who are still close to mother nature. That's excellent. Alhamdulillah. Jahil is not an ignorance that can't be overcome. Jahil means the ignorance of a child. The ignorance of a child. So that's where they were. That's where they were. All right, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was raised up from among them, and Prophet Muhammad modeled for them every civilizing detail. I want you to hear that. Allah raised him up from among them so that he could model for them every civilizing detail. Do you understand what I'm saying? How you go to the bathroom, how you wipe your behind. Do you understand what I'm saying? What food you eat, what food you don't eat, what you say, what you don't say, how you dress, how you don't dress, and everything else. Everything, I don't even need to go down the list. Why? Because these people were being reconstructed as human beings. That's a big thing. That this fitatullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayh. An-nas means civilization. We usually translate mankind, but it means civilization. Fitatullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha. The origination of civilization is on the fitr of the human being, the nature of the human being. They being ummi, they being jahil, they are thereby close to that nature, so they had a foundation that when Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking their language, he was able to raise them up and cultivate them into the form that Allah originated it in. And then what that civilization that followed after that had the kind of impact that we saw in the Renaissance. That's late in the period. But even before the Renaissance, when you saw the great dynasties, the Abbasid dynasties, and all the other cultivations and successes that were there, those are examples of what happens when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his model is followed. And that model being followed, that's what Allah is telling us when he says, Fatra Nasa Aleha. If you want to build civilization, get back to your original nature. Get back to your original nature and then live in accordance with that, and you will rise to the status of civilization that Allah wants you to be in. And that's what was modeled in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that first ummah during and in his lifetime. Okay. So, Al-Islam is that life in which when you live whatever your accountant, engineer, doctor, father, brother, whatever, husband, wife, when you act in accordance with Al-Islam while you are in those roles, you're going to be the best at all and any of those roles. This is a big deal. When Allah says, I have completed for you your way of life and have perfected my favor on you and have preferred for you Al-Islam as the way of life. Just imagine this. Imagine people in the presence of and in possession of that and don't use it. And they don't use it. That's what they have. A complete direction, instruction of how to live life, but they don't use it. Imagine that. I can't even think of an example to follow that up. On the face of it, it should be clear that how are you going to have in your hand what's perfect for what you need to have done and then don't use it? Now you have to ask yourself, okay, well then what are such people using? They have it. They have to live the life because they're alive, but they don't use what's perfect for that life. So don't be that guy. You know how they say it sometimes? Don't be that guy. You have to live in accordance with that. Now, these verses that we read at the beginning, 91:7-10, 67:2, these verses actually tell us the object of the metagame of life. Don't let my words throw you off. I know I use some words that are not common for the vocabulary of the people that maybe you're in the habit of being in communication with. They don't use such words, right? Metagame, you know. So it's like, don't make the mistake of turning your brains off, because I'm telling you that if you can get this, understand this, there's not a thing that you need to have done, that you need to improve upon, that you need to elevate, that this does not apply to. You might be thinking right now, but man, when the jewels are, I have to go deal with blue. Whatever. You know, it's like, if you take it and see it, how it applies to blue, whatever it is, I'm telling you, it'll be better. Why? Because Al-Islam is that. Now listen to this. When Allah said in the verse, I'll focus on just one verse particularly, verse 9 of 91. قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا. Okay, I know you hear zakat in there. Okay, so you got that. Set that aside. Don't worry about that. That's that. That's a given. That's fundamental or basic in Al-Islam. Got that. Now, but that's a statement of the aim of life. We're talking about taqwa and the game of life. And every aim is a game. So if I know the aim, I know the game. Well, what's the aim of life? What God just told us. The aim of life is what? قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا. You succeed by causing something to grow. That's one thing. So one of the aims of life is to cause something to grow. We're going to get to the something. To cause something to grow. That's the aim of life. So if you take away whatever, not even knowing what the something is, the idea, the aim of life in Al-Islam is to grow. It's to grow. Not to grow is un-Islamic. Un-Islamic. Allah says He created you growing from the earth like a plant. Look at yourself. In your life, are you growing? Are you growing? Or are you the same? Speaking of how the Prophet gives us direction, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, he whose 2 days of achievement are equal will never be successful. He whose 2 days of achievement are equal will never be successful. If every day you wake up, you do the same thing at the same level for the same reasons in the same way, because that's where you're comfortable. And then you go to sleep thinking, or you get to the bed, you're thinking, oh, it's been a good day. Why? Because nothing changed. Huh? The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking of ad-deen mu'ammala, the way of life is in transactions. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everybody wakes up in the day, in the morning, with their soul as a bargaining chip in their hand. Your soul I'm going to call it investment revenue for right now. We're using business language. Mu'amala is also transaction. But your soul is the money. I'll put it that way. Your soul is the money. Your soul is your portfolio. And all day, you're investing. How am I investing? With every transaction. I didn't even go to the store today. I stayed here. That's not it. When someone said to you, Assalamu alaikum, that was the start of a transaction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you're given a greeting, return it with an equal greeting or in better spirit than that. That's a transaction. So if I say, Assalamu alaikum, and you say, Aikum salam, whatever you say. Aikum salam. What the hell? You cheated me. I gave you Assalamu alaikum. May the peace that only Allah can give be with you. And you gave me Aikum salam. What language is that? Alaykum as-salam. And then the Prophet, you know this hadith, the Prophet was sitting teaching, someone came in and said, Assalamu alaikum. The Prophet said 10. Next one came in, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The Prophet said 20. Another one came in, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Prophet said 30. Why? Because each one had 10 points higher value. That's a transaction. We still started with this hadith. You wake up in the morning with your soul in your hand as a bargaining chip. And every transaction either adds to your portfolio or it takes away from your portfolio. If you lie, you just made a deduction. That one's going down. Cheat, steal, whatever other thing. Oh, don't make your prayer. Don't do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for you as a basic obligation. And so the Prophet said, you wake up with your soul as a bargaining chip, and then you come back to the bed. Meaning you woke up, alhamdulillah. Went out, transaction. Then you come back to the bed, and the Prophet said, they have either benefited or they have cheapened it. That's all day. So when the Prophet says, he whose 2 days of achievement are equal, they will never be successful. But don't think that is only related to macro type activities. For as far as your soul, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. It's the one who caused the soul to go. Now somebody went out and made a million. I know somebody made millions of dollars today. But if their soul didn't grow, that's not the success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. You have to have both of it. And that brings us to the next point. So the point is that every day and every transaction. Oh, let me give you another little something. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, assalamu alaikum. 10. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. 20. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuhu. Wa maghfiratuhu. And his forgiveness. Come on now. If somebody says that to you and you know what they are saying, yeah, you know, I give to mashallah. This is I don't want to spoil my blessing, but I'm just letting you know that this is also a game, part of the game to be played too. You find many, many, many people on the streets, homeless, helpless in so many ways, standing on the corner, cardboard. You got this. It's a meme, right? And a fact. So you give them something. My hope is that they would say, God bless you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a special endowment for you upon that dua from them. And I don't know, I'm talking out loud now, so maybe I'll start asking them. I'll give them something and say, pray for me. I don't think that's a bad transaction. Because I think if you say to someone who's begging you for something, and then you give them something, and then you ask them to pray for you, I think that would elevate their own sense of dignity. Here, this person thinks I'm worthy of asking God to bless him. Yeah, I think I'm going to start doing that. Because those blessings, those are important. So it's an opportunity. It's a transaction, right? Okay, so now Muslims, you're inside Muslims, so we're not begging each other for things. But if a Muslim says to another Muslim, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuhu, and they know that they just ask Allah's forgiveness for them, I think that would also have the blessing. And as I keep thinking about it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you want to increase the blessings on the ummah, increase the greetings. That's what we should, increase the greetings, okay? Now, but at this moment, we're still talking about the aim of life as Allah has stated it. Remember, for every game, there's a game. If you want to know the game, you need to know the aim. If you want to know the game of life, al-Islam, the big game, the meta game of life, then you need to know, well, what is the aim in al-Islam? قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا. That's one of them. The one who succeeds, who causes the soul to grow. Right? What's the other one? The other part of it. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتُ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامَلَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is the one who created the death and the life. He said, this is life. Death and life, that covers it all. You got that, right? He created the end and the beginning. It starts out like that. Why, God? Why? Why did you do this? To try. Which of you is best in conduct? You ain't got to go digging in a crypt somewhere, find some, blow off some book, giant, open it up, mosquitoes fly out of it or something. Yeah, here's the deep wisdom. No. No. Allah says, this life is a trial. That's God saying that that's the purpose of life. To try, which of you is best in conduct? Okay, now we got two things. Cause your soul to grow in the midst of the trials of life. So you don't get off easy. It's like, well, I'm just here to make my soul grow. Well, you got to make it grow in the midst of all the things that happen to you while you're living. And let me remind you, just in case we've forgotten. From verse 2, Surah 2, Ayah 155 through 157, it says, we, Allah, that is, we will test you with a certain amount of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and life and the fruits of your labor, but give good news to the steadfast. Those who, when disaster strikes them, say, we belong to Allah and to Him we will return. It's an important point here also. That the Arabic of this is, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. See, usually we just say that when somebody passes away. No. Whenever you have a difficulty, whenever you have a trial, whenever you have a quote-unquote disaster, something happens, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Not just when someone passes away. And so Allah continuing this reading, it says, those are the people who will have blessings and mercy from their Lord. They are the ones who are guided. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Alright, so there's the two things. The aim of life for Al-Islam. Cause your soul to grow and do so in the midst of the trials of life. You see, so you lose your wealth. You lose something of your wealth. Whatever. You get in a financial bind, let's say. Oh man, what do I want to do? Satan threatens you with poverty. That's the third part of this life game. Satan threatens you with poverty and bids you to behavior that is unseemly. You ain't got no money, man. You ain't broke, man. You out of luck. If you broke, you out of luck, man. You better go get yours, man. You know, mashallah, Allah know everything real. Y'all heard this conversation. That's shaitan. That's shaitan giving you the rationale for behaving out of bounds. He's taking you out of the Al-Islam game. If you start playing that game, you're no longer playing Al-Islam. Now you play shaitan's game. You can't win shaitan. You lost already when you start playing the game. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, he said, you wake up in the morning, it's time for Fajr. You wake up in the morning. If you respond to any kind of dialogue that suggests you're going to delay or you're not going to do it or you can make it up or, you know, you are in dialogue with shaitan. Just don't even have that, don't start the conversation. Before you know it, you sleep snoozing again, then the sun wakes you up. So don't even start the conversation, right? So the idea is that when we are faced with these difficulties, faced with these challenges, we should understand that is the part of the nature of life. Al-Islam shows us how to get through the life that the Creator created. Whose world do you think you live in? Al-Mulk, that's Allah. Al-Malik al-Mulk. He's the owner of everything. He's the creator of everything. Al-Khaliq. He's the creator of everything that exists in nature, in the universe. You understand? Allah created it. And he's telling you, listen, I created you into toil and struggle. Who's talking? The one who created everything and us. He said, let me tell you what you're about to get into. The Creator. Let me tell you what you're about to get into. You're coming into a world that is filled with toil and struggle. No secret. Toil and struggle. Loss of life, loss of fruit of your labor, fear, hunger, etc. I'm going to try you with wealth. I'm going to try you with poverty. Allah is telling you, no secrets. But he says, give good news to the believer. And Muhammad, the perfect model, Muhammad is telling us and showing us, look, this is how you live. You want to get through this? I don't know how many military people in here. Mashallah, I'm not a military guy. That's the one lottery that I'm glad I won. Mashallah. They pulled my name. I was in the lower ranks of my high school graduating class, the lower percentile, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? But why? That's from being high, but that's another story. But the other side of it is when they pull those lotteries for the Vietnam thing, I got a low score on that too. I didn't know Allah at that time, but I probably had I known, alhamdulillah. Okay? But the point here is that it's like a military, like a drill instructor or someone who's training someone in boot camp. Say, look, you're about to go into a hot zone. They ain't going to be shooting blanks when you go over here to this thing over here. And there's moves that they make over there that if you don't pay attention, you're not going to come home. I'm talking just military. I want to get that frame on it. Well, here Allah, as we come into life, Allah has revealed what tells those who would obey, you want to get out of this with the best? You want to get through this with the best? Here, follow this and follow the example of this one. He is your, I'm going to call it now, your drill instructor. Your trainer is Muhammad. So here's what Muhammad says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, strange is the case of the believer, for there is good in every affair of his. Here Muhammad is saying, there's a place that you can get to in your heart, your mind, your faith, your practice, where everything is good. And it's the case that anyone, nobody else but the believer, will have this. If they have an occasion to feel delight, they are grateful to God. So that's good for him. But if they get into trouble but show resignation, they endure it with the grace and with the remembrance of Allah, there's good in it for them. But this only for the believer. So what's the aim of the game? To be a believer. The aim of the game is to be a capital B believer. Not the one that we are, yeah, the believers, we haven't been at, the believers we have in Fajr, the believers we have in Iftar, the believers, we use believers like whatever. Putting a handful of popcorn in our mouth or something. You know, something just casual. No, man. A believer is a serious character. And I want us to understand. I won't elaborate on it, but I'll put it out to you so you can understand it. Inshallah, with Allah's grace, we pray. We make the dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابُ النَّارِ. We make that dua. How do you get the excellent things in this world? If you don't understand that belief, and I'm talking beyond, I'm talking separate from religious belief. I'm not talking about prayer belief and charity belief and love and kindness and stay out of hell belief. I'm talking about what you believe. Do you believe that it's possible for you to be as successful as the most successful people in this world? Do you believe that, or is that, man, you tripping, man? You see, limited beliefs, limited success. Because it's belief that turns on the machinery of your potential. And it's that that connects you with the power in the creation that the same creator created to serve you. I hope I can finish 2 minutes right here. Sakhara, Allah says, Sakhara lakum ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Allah, He said, I created all of this. Not only, as He said, Surah Ar-Rahman, I gave it to you as a gift, but I also created it to serve you. The Creator said that. Oh no, it must have been for the white people. It wasn't. No. It's for Adam and his children. But if you don't believe that, you're still waiting for the stimulus check for everything to be all right. Yeah. Man, why don't they go and vote that thing in, man? They tripping, man. Shoot, you always get the black man. We're just such a meme. I'm sorry. It just comes out. Those who are on that page. So, brother and sister, when we get to that state, That's that state that life is all good. It's possible. It's possible. It's the reality for the Muslim believer.
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين.
So God says, وتزاودوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى وَتَقُونِي يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ صدق الله العظيم. This is a portion of Ayah 197 of Surah Al-Baqarah, and an expression of it is, and take provisions with you for the journey, but the best of provisions is taqwa. So have taqwa for me, O you that are wise. The overall subject is taqwa and the game of life. When God says, take provision for the journey, what journey? Life. Journey from birth to death. And that life, it starts when you're born, and this life, it ends when you pass away. In order to have the best life, Allah is saying, take taqwa with you. That's the best. The first thing that shaitan did to our parents, as the Quran reveals, stripped them of their raiment of taqwa. That's when the problem started. When they lost the raiment of taqwa. And God says also in the Quran, libasun taqwa wa khayr. The garment of taqwa, that is the best. Taqwa, consciousness of Allah. Being conscious the way that Allah would have you be conscious. Now, every game is played somewhere, right? Chess on the board, basketball on the court, tennis on the court, golf on the course, you know, race cars on the track, except all that. Play some. Where is the game of life played? Everywhere, all the time, human beings are alive. The game never stops until you stop in this life. It's a journey. What's the best thing to have with you? As Allah is saying, the best way to win this game, to grow in this game, is to have taqwa. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina aminu taqullaha haqq tuqatihi wa la tamutuna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah really. That's what I said. Taqullaha haqq. Don't just say it. Have it really. Tuqatihi, in the way that is due to him. وَلَا تَمُوتُونَ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And don't die unless you're in submission to Allah's will. When it says, and don't die, except, do you know when you're going to die? So how long are you supposed to, how often are you supposed to have taqwa? 24 hours a day. Why? Because every life, every action in your life is a transaction. When you meet your wife, when you see your wife, when you see your husband, that's a transaction. When you see your children, that's a transaction. When you interact with your brother, interact with your sister, that's a transaction. It doesn't stop. From birth to death, it doesn't stop. And the more you grow in taqwa, the better you will be at this thing called life. And your life will grow as your taqwa grows, because your taqwa will cause you to be conscious always in the way that Allah means for you to be conscious. So when you go to your business, you bring taqwa with you. When you go to school, you bring taqwa with you. When you come back to the house, you bring taqwa with you. When you come to the masjid, you bring taqwa with you. Whatever you do, with taqwa. Allahu Akbar. Hey, listen. Blow that off if you want to. I'm telling you, you take that light, then you need to understand that Allah is hearing your heart. Allah is hearing your thoughts about that. Oh man, he's standing up there tripping today, man. He all going all the way up. Man, girl, you're supposed to be thinking about what I'm saying. You're supposed to be considering, how does this fit with you? Do I have my taqwa straight?
No, I haven't fallen. I got a prayer to let them know I'm okay so they don't send an ambulance. What's that? But it is time to go, mashallah. Now, brother and sister, I'm telling you, it's like, mashallah, I got a 70th birthday coming. May Allah bless us to get there. Inshallah. It's not, December, mashallah. We're looking forward to it. Alhamdulillah. And one of the things that I have come crystal clear about, this conversation I'm having with you, this stuff, the quote, I'll say stuff, but mashallah, it's much more sacred than that. It takes decades to get to this place and really own what I'm talking about. Allah knows best, and I don't want to spoil His grace on me, and this is no boast. But I believe and understand and apply to the best of my ability what I'm talking to you about. And the force of what I'm talking about that you feel coming from me is because I'm experiencing what I want you to experience if you're not already experiencing it. And I mean, you read the headlines and get all shook. What? So he gay. What? That changes my world how? So Russell Westbrook put on a dress. Oh, whatever. Somebody else got them on a program and they own their own program. Where's your program? Where's the brick on the building that you're building? Or are you just sitting on somebody else's construction site? What they're doing now? Get your butt from behind that fence and go build something of your own. Because God got that covered. And so they drive nature out with pitchforks, but she comes roaring back. So you can do whatever you do against the nature, but Mother Nature, she don't play that. And it might look like you getting away with this or with that. When Mother Nature throws her punch, you get knocked out. And I agree, there's a scholar, we're done, inshallah, who says that out of all of his years of study, and this is a non-Muslim scholar who's very, very, very learned, I trust his intellect because it's his honesty. But that being said, the point is, he said he's come to the understanding, we already knew this, but he's come to the understanding just by study of history and life and individual. Nobody gets away with anything. That's a big deal. Nobody gets away with anything, John Gruden. Epstein. Weinstein. Whoever else. Nobody gets away with anything.
So we're in the blessed position to have a way of life that all we have to do is get better at practicing what we claim. And we will see our life evolve higher and higher and higher than all other lives. That's the promise of God for Al-Islam. لِيَذْهِرُهُ أَلَّدِينَ كُلِّ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ Allah said He's going to make Al-Islam the most expressed way of life, even though the unbelievers don't like it. So how is Islam going to be expressed if it's not being expressed through Muslims and believers? So when Al-Islam rises, what happens? You rise. But it rises through us by our practice of it. That's how it rises. So may Allah bless us too. Be true to our declarations and our claims.
له لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance and protection. We know that without your help, we have no help. Without your guidance, we have no guidance. Without your strength, that you give to us, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. There is no power nor any force to make anyone do right except with you. Oh Allah, make us do right. Oh Allah, bless us to resign our wills more and more to yours. Oh Allah, separate us from our undeveloped egos. Separate us from our immaturities. Separate us from our doubts. Oh Allah, strengthen us, make us firm, make us true believers. Bless us to practice what you have given us in Al-Islam. Bless us to learn more and to imbibe more and internalize more of the life of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We beg your aid and assistance in all things, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen, Allahumma ameen, wa aqim as-salat.
you'll be so free.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله. Thank you for joining us this morning for Universal Dimension Leadership. الحمد لله. We continue on the subject taqwa and the game of life. الحمد لله. That was the airing of the fifth installment on that subject. MashaAllah, and it continues, and we'll continue this morning after we hear from you. So if you have comments, go ahead, punch one, come on through, because the education comes in the conversation. We look forward to that benefit. Alhamdulillah. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shoaib, and to your astute radio listening audience. Mark Shahid from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. Want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I want to commend you on an outstanding khutbah, and very passionate khutbah. I want to say that prelude, that song you have, boy, I tell you, that really resonates with me because those who are really conscious, regardfully conscious, and possessing taqwa, you want to be free. You want to be free. You really, truly want to be free. We want that truth. I think it was Prophet Isa, if I'm not mistaken, in Proverbs said, hey, know ye the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I believe in my heart, mind, and soul that what Allah has given to us as believers in this way of life of al-Islam, starting with the Shahadatain, this is a declaration of liberation for the human being to be able to serve the one God, Allah. And that kind of leads me into so many very, very insightful things that you said in the Quran. I mean, using the Quran in your khutbah as the basis for it, you know, and using, you know, aim and game and game. In every game, there's an aim, and every aim, when there's an aim, there is a game, and that understanding of that. But what it is that we have as a provision and should keep us, the provision that Allah has given to us is taqwa. And it's like, don't have it just at home. And when they have that saying, I don't know, with some commercials, they never leave home without it. Well, don't ever leave it. Keep it 24/7 because we actually, we need that. That's where God guides us in being conscious, regardful of Him, His word, His will, and His way. And then that becomes like the barometer. You know, am I acting on God's word? You were speaking about believer. Am I acting on God's word? Am I behaving, you know, in accordance with God's word? Is this what God's will is for me? Or is this, I'm just using this limited free will that God has given to me. Am I just using it for the way I want to do things or the way I want to conduct my life? So very important. And one other thing real quickly, because I know you have other callers that want to have something to say. But I remember an old acronym that you gave when you was talking about, you know, believe. And, of course, we are told that we have to believe in the unseen. And I think you gave it years ago. I think it was to parents in regards to their children. And it was in the word bliss. You remember that, bliss? To believe, you know, that the Creator has put into all human beings an ability, a skill, a talent, a gift, if you will. And you have to believe that, and that it has to be unwrapped, you know, the Creator's has given it to all of us, and then the L was to locate it. Sometimes it's easily or readily seen, but sometimes it's wrapped up, you know, but you have mm-hmm. to locate it. And then the I think, was to institutionalize it, and that next S was to specialize, and then mm-hmm. the final S was that spelled success. I used the last S, soul set, and I did mm-hmm. that because of Al Shams, what you gave in your cookbook, in terms mm-hmm. of what the success is the success of the soul, and how mm-hmm. it is that we understand the soul, and what has to be done for the nurturing and the cultivating the soul to realize its full potential, and not mm-hmm. just the neglect of the soul. So it has the soul has a goal, it's a role that it is that it has, but it has a goal, and in the game of life it has an aim too. And then when you get the right mate, that becomes a team, and then you can have mm-hmm. the dream to be able to realize it. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you so much. It was such a passionate cookbook. It resonated with me. Everything you said resonate with me, you know, in that regard. And I pray a lot that it resonate with the others that really are listening, because it was coming from the heart. And most certainly, I can't speak for others, but it reached my heart. Thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless you and continuously you and us in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of what God's word, will, and way is for us, so that we can perform the work that would be necessary to get us to that next level. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Shukran. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. All right. Who we got here? I think this is my brother Al-Haji. Al-Haji, is that you? Al-Haji. Doing something else. He just punched one. My brother, Imam Nazim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, brother Imam, and the listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening, and I went into the lab. I need to get a clarification before I share this. Got two little quick recipes here that I think would be beneficial. They're in the developmental stage, but they're pretty clear enough, I think, to be said. So when you initially started this, did you say that the game of life is the only game we have to play to learn? We have to play to learn the rules? Is that?
There's a saying that says the game of life is the only game that you learn the rules as you play it.
And okay.
That's the essence of it. But, of course, as far as Al-Islam is concerned, I didn't put it directly in that. I may have mentioned it in the course of talking about it, but the game of life is the only game where you learn the rules as you play the game.
Right.
That's the saying that's already out there.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I wanted to use that more, you know, try to correctly say that. But so the game of life is the only game we have to play it to learn the rules.
Right.
And then it says, and if we play by the rules, the creator of life will reward us now and later. And then I'm saying that's the saying that I'm coming up with. So then I say I use philosophy, candy, mm-hmm. and scripture, and how sweet it is. Because I had forgotten about that candy now and later candy, you know. But that's mm-hmm. the sweetness, and suggesting for what Brother Mark was saying, that's the sweetness that we get if we do, like you said earlier, become that believer and we put that into practice, you know. And I don't want to try to explore any more on that, but that's I think it's pretty rich, and it will hit each one differently as they think about it, because they're going to think about it differently. They may start with this part or that part of it, but I think it has a lot of making for a good recipe to know why to play the game and why to learn the rules. And then the other one was logic by inference as follows. Imam Muhammad has said this, and I don't know exactly whether it's Hadith or just his language or like you said, just a saying somewhere. But we are creatures of habit. I don't know. Do you know the source of that? Does that?
That's quote unquote, that's common knowledge. That's in the fabric of our culture. That would fall into the category when people say, well, it is intuitively understood, and intuitively in this context, in this say, it means common sense, right? So it's common sense, common experience, universally, basically agreed that we are creatures of habit. In fact, I think that's why the language for environment is called habitat. It's called habitat. That's where you get your habits at.
And you know, just while we're talking on it, I was looking at the same thing with the word planet. You know, the Earth is the planet. You know, so if you're going to succeed, you got to plan it. But anyway,
put those words together to preserve it for themselves. When we learn how to read their language on this other level, is that, well, shoot, I can benefit from the plan too that they have for their culture, and let me get mine.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so here's the ending. This, so it says, we are creatures of habit. Therefore, good habits help us and bad habits hurt us.
Absolutely.
Now, my twist on that is that, and it's kind of a question statement, is that if we say good habits help us and bad habits hurt us, in addition to the way we do one thing, we do everything. So you can say that coming or going. You can say the creatures of habit, or you can lead with good habits help us and bad habits hurt us because we're creatures of habit. And the way we do one thing, we do everything because good habits help us and bad habits hurt us.
Right. I mean, that's true. I get you. You're pointing out, it's almost like it's a law. You're actually making a statement of law in that sense. Since we are creatures of habit, that is, that's what you're made of. You are a big bundle of habits, right? Okay.
Right.
And it's just like food, right? Good food helps you and bad food hurts you, right?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Because the food is the stuff you need in order to maintain your body, right? Because your body is made of that stuff, right? But you can get some good food or you can get some bad food that's going to be good for your body or bad for your body. Okay?
Yes.
We are creatures of habit, so good habits are good for you. Bad habits are bad for you, right?
Yes.
That's what you're saying, right?
Yes, exactly.
Now, you can continue to extend it. It applies also to language. It applies to ideas, right? It's like we are creatures of language, right? Good language helps us. Bad language hurts us. We are creatures of ideas. Mm-hmm. Good ideas help us. Bad ideas hurt us, right? So, mashallah, so that plays on all levels, all right?
And you know, your last thing, so to you, you know, with your program on Mondays about wealth, you introduced to me and the audience the fact that if you keep exploring this, you'll see wealth is not just material or money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran.
Thank you so much. Assalamu
alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, so we're going to go on to adding to the material of taqwa and the game of life. And I'm going to start with this little slide here. I'm basically just gonna read it off, and wherever it goes, that's where it goes. This morning, for the time remaining. All right. So we're talking about the aim of the game of life, right? And we say Al-Islam is the metagame. The metagame means that there are games played inside of this game, but since Al-Islam is deen, then Al-Islam is all life, thing that happens in life. It covers all life and everything that happens in life. And so life is a quote-unquote game in the sense that it's serious. Just usually just the implicit statement about game is like it's all for fun. No, this is not for fun. This is serious. So we speak about a game as having an aim, and so you want to find out what the aim of the game of life from the perspective of Al-Islam is. And when you understand Al-Islam as deen, a complete way of life, then everything falls under that construction. Let me see if I put this somewhere else. Yes. Here's something I'll show you to make the point. So in the game of life, as far as Al-Islam is concerned, all these other games are played in the game of life. Yes, family, intellect, religion, that is that our worship life, ibadah, right? Ourself, for as far as our own, people talk about self-care. It was actually talking about your mentality, and we put this nefs. Nefs, another translation or an expression of nefs, is personality, your personality. That's one of your responsibilities, your personal reality, your mentality, the health of your mind, et cetera. All that goes into self. And then also property, the state of your material life. That's also, all of these are game. And every other thing, remember, as we've said, that, on this team, Mark, with Imam Nazim, we compiled this: for every aim, there's a game. For every role, there's a goal. For every team, there's a dream. So that means I've given these here because these five are considered dururi. Dururi means that they're mandatory in life. You got to take care of your family. Got to take care of your intellect. Got to take care of your ibadah, your worship life / religion. You have to take care of property. You have to take care of your personality. You have to take care of your character forming, your mental state and the like. And then for every other label, for every other title that you can put on yourself in your situation at any point in time, all of it comes under the metagame of Al-Islam. Al-Islam has something to say about it. Al-Islam shows you the way to evolve in it, to grow in it, to develop in it, to benefit from it. Al-Islam is like, they call water the universal solvent. They call water the universal solvent, okay? Meaning that it's like water will break down everything, right? Okay, Al-Islam is the universal way of life. It's the universal way of life. Up, down, in, out, right, left. It applies to everything at all times. At everything, there's not a thing in life that we as human beings have to address and have and experience. If we experience fear, if we experience joy, if we experience pleasure, if we experience disappointment, those are universal experiences for human beings. Al-Islam has something to say about it. Al-Islam has coping mechanisms and coping methodologies for dealing with both the positive and the negatives. There's so many ways we can go. There are drug dealers who their problem was that they were addicted to the money. They weren't addicted to the drugs. They were addicted to the money. I mean, literally, that's their admission. It's like, I was just addicted to the money. I couldn't stop. I couldn't control that, right? So the point is, Al-Islam has something to say about everything. Okay. So Al-Islam is the metagame for that reason, because every other game, and I can't go back and explain it all over again if you haven't got it yet, every other game, Al-Islam shows you how to play it and win. Every other game, Al-Islam shows you how to play it and win. I think that's worth saying a third time. Al-Islam is that game where it shows you how to win in every other game. That's it. And that's the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've completed for you your way of life. And what way of life? A way of life that will show you how to win in all the games that you play in life. And again, with the serious meaning for game. All right, so let's go back to that. Here's the model, right? Here's the model for the metagame of life. This is a model. And what you're going to find is this repeats in any game that you're playing. So in all of those small, quote-unquote, structures that I showed you, this is the master template for it. So I know Blog Talk, you know, you may not be seeing it. But fundamentally, I use the triangular structure and divide that triangular structure into four parts. And that triangular structure represents the growth no matter what it is, okay? So if we were talking about family, let's just say, if we're talking about family, then you have to go through these four stages to become successful at family. And those stages are unconscious, incompetent, conscious, incompetent, conscious, competent, unconscious, competent, right? And that's what you have to do for family. That's what you have to do for business. That's what you have to do for education. That's what you have to do for every other thing that you're trying to be successful at, as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, as a business person, as whatever, career, whatever your career aims are. You have to go through all of it in order to become successful at each one of them. And your growth in those four steps is your growth in success with regard to that, right? That's with anything. Okay, but we're drawing out and we're talking about for as far as Islam. See, because Muslim, right? What is Muslim? Muslim is, this is the what is called the active participle form of Salima, the active participle form of Salima. And you can hear in that grammatical description of what Muslim is. From a grammatical perspective, it's the active participle form. It means you actively participate in Islam. That's what it means. To be a Muslim, you actively participate in Islam, right? So it's like you take a label like quarterback, and say, I'm the quarterback on our basketball team. Well, no, there's no quarterback in the game of basketball, right? So the idea is that when you take a label, then you are also identifying the game that you're playing. Okay, I'm a Muslim. Okay, what game are you playing? You're playing Islam. You're playing the Islam game. If you're playing the Al-Islam game, then you are a Muslim. That's the name for the people who are playing the Al-Islam game. And what do they have to do? They have to actively participate in Al-Islam. All right? Okay, how do you do that? Well, you have to do the same thing. You have to move from unconscious incompetent. You have to find out what it is that you don't know about Al-Islam. And then you practice that, right? You learn that. And then more and more you realize, how to achieve certain things. And, of course, you make mistakes, but then you also correct those mistakes. And this is what we call it, practicing Al-Islam. And so you practice Al-Islam until you get to the point where you become a conscious incompetent, meaning, oh, man, that was a mistake. Man, I'm a Muslim. I shouldn't be doing things like that, blah, blah, blah. Conscious incompetent. Okay, so now you got to keep working until the habits, as was just spoken of, the habits where your habits bring you to the point where you consciously practice whatever Al-Islam tells you to practice, and you do so competently, and you're conscious of doing it competently, where the Quran tells us wa aqimus salat wa atuz zakat. That means they establish prayer and they establish zakat. You have to consciously and competently practice prayer and zakat. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one of the quote-unquote heroes of Al-Islam, he went to war, fought what was called the Ridaa Wars, and with the central report that tells us why he was fighting the way he was fighting, because it was because people had stopped doing, i.e. practicing, what they were practicing during the life of the prophet, which was practice the way of life, because that way of life is what provides the structure by which the will of Allah goes forward in the world. by a group of people enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong. It became his responsibility to maintain that order, that path, that behavior. And so he said, I'll fight them, I'll fight them, I'll fight them. And shortening the hadith, he gets to the point, he said, so long as they make a distinction between prayer and zakat, I will fight them, right? So what is he saying? He's saying, well, you got to establish both of those. I mean, you got a lot of people who are heavily emphatic on the salat, but man, your zakat wing is short. And that's a problem that is not born in al-Islam. That's a failure on the part of someone who says they're a Muslim, which that the Prophet says, Buni al-Islam wa al-Khams. The structure of al-Islam is built on five essentials, and those five essentials on first order is the five pillars of al-Islam. So as far as the rational order, the five senses. In terms of conscious competence, that's also talking about you have to establish as a habit these two things for sure. Waqim as-salat wa atu zakat, that's for Muslim, right? One who is actively participating in al-Islam, Muslim. There is no Muslim without the establishment of prayer and establishment of zakat. You're not playing the al-Islam game if you're not doing that. All right. Then you move up from conscious competent, you move up to the unconscious competent. And that is where it is simply, this is just what I do. It's like I don't have to think about it. I don't have to wonder about it. I don't have to rationalize about it. I don't have to convince myself that this is the right thing to do or what have you. It's like that's what I do, period. No thought to it. Unconscious competence in the practice of that. And when you achieve that state, now you are a believer. Now you're a believer when you get to that state where you don't even have to think about all the things that you're obligated to do and they are established as habits. And not only conscious habits, but they are unconscious. You do it unconsciously, without a thought. So alhamdulillah, that's the believer. All right. So now, when you go through that, okay, now that happens and has to happen inside of whatever you do. Let's go with an engineer, right? That's your al-Islam life. Your al-Islam life, you have to make that movement to where the five pillars are established in your life, right? The five pillars are established in your life. So now you have the foundation. That's the foundation. You still haven't built any walls. You haven't put in any plumbing. You haven't brought any furniture, whatever, into the structure that's supposed to be built on it. So you get that foundation. You become a competent believing Muslim, right? Now, You have to, in life, in the aim of the metagame of life of al-Islam, you do that, this practicing al-Islam, you do that while you are also doing something else to advance your life, right? Listen to this. I used engineer when I started just now. Are you an engineer who just happened to be a Muslim? Or are you a Muslim engineer? There's a difference. If you're an engineer who's a Muslim, or are you a Muslim who's an engineer? Which comes first? Which, as a value, has to be first? I think most of us should be crystal clear that you're a Muslim first and you're an engineer afterwards. You're a Muslim first, you're an engineer after. You're a Muslim first and a doctor after. You're a Muslim first and a lawyer after. You're a Muslim first and a father after. You're a Muslim first and a mother after. You whatever. Muslim comes first, right? But you're alive, right? You're alive, and every day you go to work as a lawyer, as an engineer, as a doctor, as a mother, as a father. Every day you're doing that. But what goes with you and what has to go with you and what supersedes all and what rides over all is your al-Islam. You're a Muslim father. You're a Muslim mother. you're a Muslim doctor, Muslim lawyer, Muslim engineer, Muslim activist, whatever you want, just plug it in, whatever you want to plug in. And each one has to go up that scale, unconscious, competent, conscious, incompetent, conscious, competent, unconscious, competent. So you can become that as an activist. You can become that as an engineer. You can become that as a doctor. So then you, so you become an activist who's a believer, right? You become a doctor who's a believer, right? And all the rest of it, a father who's a believer. This is growth, right? So you have to do both of those things simultaneously, right? So I'm trying to grow at, in my Muslim scaling to where I become a believer, which will cover everything. But I'm also in the quote-unquote secular material, whatever kind of world that I'm in the example, it's like I'm also trying to move up that scale from a skills point of view, skills as a doctor, skills as an engineer, skills as a lawyer, skills as an activist, skills as whatever. Well, you still got to go up the same scale. So you got to go up that scale. You have to go up that scale for your al-Islam, which covers it all, meaning you, you need that background. You need that atmosphere. You need that ethos. You need that metacondition such that it embraces all of your life's activities. You do it all as a practicer of al-Islam, okay? So My if as an engineer, I have to move from unconscious, incompetent, conscious, competent to conscious, competent to unconscious, competent. I have to do that as an engineer, or I'm not going to be successful as an engineer, or I won't be as successful. Well, I'm talking about the peak performer. If you're going to be a peak performer, you're going to have to get to that top level. Otherwise, you can still rise, but if your goal is to be a peak performer, then you have to get to that point. So many. I mean, the ones that we read about, hear about, the documentaries are made about. I'm thinking about I am Pei, P-E-I. Look it up. First person singular. It's like, you know, they do documentaries about peak performers. Bottom line, right? So if you expect to get to that level, well, then you have to go up that scale in that particular skill area, and inshallah, you'll become the model that people aspire to and emulate and imitate. So, okay, so then you should see then that this structure here is something that has to be achieved both on the metaphysical and on the and on the physical level. I'm just putting it that way rather than say, you know, the spiritual or secular. I don't want to divide it up that way. I hope you understand. All right. All right, so now let's look at the Quranic pieces that give us the clarity of the aim, and Allah knows best, right? So 91:7 through 10 and 67:2 help us to get an abstraction of the aim of the metagame of life. And they help us in this way. By the soul and the proportional order given to it in its enlightenment as to what would benefit, what would harm it. Truly he succeeds that causes it to grow, and he fails that corrupts it. I focus on verse 9 of 91, Surah Ash-Shams, where it says, Qad aflaha man zakaha. He succeeds who causes it to grow. Okay, so that's a statement of an aim. That's a statement of an aim. What is the aim? To cause it to grow. That's the aim. What is the aim? Cause it to grow. Why? Because that's what success is made of. Success is comprised of growing it, whatever it is. That's where the growth is, right? So that's one part of the aim. One part of the aim is to cause something to grow, and the first reference would naturally be the soul. All right, a secondary reference is going to come in verse 8 because you have the fujur and the taqwa. That is also something that could stand in for what you have to cause to grow. Not given the translation that some, you don't want your wrong to grow, right? Yes, you do want your right to grow, but the soul is made up of both. But let's save that and we'll go get to that when we get to the other side. So truly, truly he succeeds that causes it to grow. So the aim is to cause it, and this just take the large piece, the soul, causing the soul to grow. And 67:2, it says, he it is who created the death and the life, that he may try which of you is best in conduct. That's also a statement of the aim of the metagame of life. Life as a whole, life as Allah has created it, that life that we come into before we are doctors, lawyers, engineers, husbands, wives, etc., we come into a world where we come to life and we're going to die. Death is already written. We start to die from the moment we're born. All right? So that's a part of it. And inside of that movement from birth to death is trial after trial after trial. In fact, let's make it simple. So it's, we don't want the potential pessimism to jump in on that. Yeah, trial after trial after trial. No, that's not all of it. This is the abstraction, right? Truth without details. Yes, there's trial, but God explains it. He says, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرٌ. With the difficulty comes relief. The difficulty, yes, it's a trial, but inside that trial is the blessing. Inside that trial is the way for greater progress. You cannot get what you would like to have without going through what you have to go through to get it. That's it. Yes. Do you think that you're going to enter paradise and not be tried? You see, you start getting the details when you look at the religion. It's like, but just understood, the big picture is the whole life is a trial. And you are tried by different elements of the reality of life, the loss of life, the fear, the loss of the fruit of your labor, et cetera. You get tried also by wealth and by poverty. When does that happen? Just as long as you're living? That's how it is. That's life. And so when you embrace life for the reality that Allah establishes as such, you know, you might even use someone, no doubt, is asking and has asked at some point in time, well, why is it like that? Why is this like this? And why does life that? Well, Allah, the ultimate answer is going to be given at that time when we are all given all the answers to a nicety. But in actuality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed it. Is that he tried you. His intent is to purify those who are sincere and to deprive of blessings those who are not. لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسُنُ الْعَامِلَ, the verse actually says. It says to prove. Allah is saying to prove. Prove what? To prove, are you really a believer or are you really a rejecter? How is that done? You're put into a trial. And in that trial, and God talks about it, fatan, we talk about fitna, for example. Fitna is also a trial. We used to just say, man, a bunch of fitna down there at the masjid. So, well, it's a trial. It's a purification process. Some people are being deprived of blessing, and some people are being blessed by the very fitna that is happening. And Allah knows best. And you've already heard. It's like, for the believer, it's all good. And see, that's the symbol of Abraham. When Abraham put him in the fire, right? Put him in the fire. And Allah said, fire be cool and peace for Abraham. And the fire is cool and peace for Abraham because Abraham is in that state where all things are good for him. And no matter, it doesn't matter how much heat or smoke nowadays, no matter how much heat people bring for a believer, he's cool. She's cool. Right. But what is it? Fitna. But what's happening in the fitna? Purification. And that's what fitan is. Fitan, the word, the root from which that fitna comes from, it's the process by which the dross is taken away from the gold. The impurities are burned out. And the purity is the only thing that remains. The utility is the only thing that remains. I know that those of you who are hearing me, that's straight Quran, what it's speaking of. All right, so that's the nature of life. That's the nature of life. And so once you understand that, and think about that. Here it is right there. Speaking about language that's right in front of us, is there goal and gold. Goal and gold. G-O-A-L, G-O-L-D. Right? Fitness. right? Yeah, if you're trying to get to a goal, you're going to have to face some fitna, right? That the fitna is there to purify you, to make you better as you go forward. And when you get through whatever it is that is serving as an obstacle for you in your advancement toward that goal, what's going to happen is you're going to be purified in the process. And as you move towards your goal, you are becoming more and more golden, we can say. The Olympics, right? The Olympics, who's the one that gets the highest medal, right? M-E-D-A-L, but it's also a metal, M-E-T-A-L. And then Allah says that he will test your reporter. The translator uses this language. And Allah will test your reported metal, M-E-T-T-L-E. It's all there. Metal, metal. And then you got people who are meddling in your business, right? So metal, gold metal, right? Metal, gold is a metal. Metal is a statement of your character, your metal, right? Well, how do you get to that gold metal? How do you get to the gold, M-E-T-T-L-E? Fitna. Trials. And those trials prove that you are what you say you are. They prove that your heart is what you say it is. Do you think you're going to enter paradise and not be tried, and not go through fitna, not have the fitan? Do you think you're going to get to paradise unpurified? No. The only way you're going to get purified is you have to go through the fire. But if you're at the station of Abraham, fire is going to be cool and peace for you. Others who are not having that kind of faith, they're going to get totally broke down because that's the nature of fire. Fire breaks things down to its fundamental elements. And if you get into a fitna, oh, you should see it in the language again. You're fired. Wow. You're fired. Now, there's some people who have grade A mental breakdown. Unfair to the postal workers, but the language for it is they go postal. Right? It's like, what happened? They broke down. I had nervous breakdown. Nervous breakdown. Moving too fast. Nervous breakdown. That, you got to check this movie, Michael Douglas, I think it's called Falling Down or something like that. It's an example of what I'm talking about. Okay, but let's dial it back. Let's dial it back. So all this comes inside of understanding that's life. That's life. You know, wallahi, 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 as a Muslim, a active practicer of al-Islam, when quote-unquote stuff happens in your life or in somebody else's life around you on one level, it is appropriate to, if you don't say it to them, because they may not be ready to hear it like that. But you should say it to yourself so you can understand it, that that's life. Oh, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? A part of you, you know, mashallah, inna lillahi, inna ilayhi rajiun, but then a part of you should be saying, well, that's life. That's life. Two things. One, two statements. One is that you become an adult when nothing in life surprises you. You become an adult when nothing in life surprises you. Man, mashallah, alhamdulillah, you know, hey, getting older, that's a part of the blessing of getting older. It's like less, fewer and fewer things surprise you. It's like, oh, okay. You're not blown away. Oh, yeah, that happened. Because if you live long enough, there's something like it that you may have experienced in the past, so it's not so surprising to you. But the younger you are and the less experienced you are, more things surprise you. Did you hear? It's like, that's life. That happens. Don't let it break you down. And then in many instances, mashallah, Allahu alam, you know, as a part of it, whatever, it's no boast. It's just experience. That's my experience with the imam, right? You know, I've been present, been a part of, and, you know, heard comments and explanations about different situations that would come up in our community, you know, some of them public, some of them private. And many times Imam Muhammad would reply to whatever the fitna, I'll just put it that way, the fitna that came to him that he would talk about, he relate. He said, let the natural process continue. Whatever was going on, man, what they doing in this city, what they doing in that city, people, these are other people, that's not the imam, other people are saying this. The imam, blah, 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 blah. What should we do about this, what should we do about this? Imam, let the natural process continue. And a part of the natural process is, hey, look, some people are going to be lifted up, some people are going to get knocked down. Some people are going to learn lessons, some people are going, this is the last we'll see of them. I mean, mashallah. So let me just move on. You see somebody, they fall out. You say something, you do something, or something happens, and you can tell by the way they react. And then the short history after that, oh, that was the time when they checked out. It's like, yeah, man, you seen so-and-so? No, man, I ain't seen him since so-and-so, and I ain't seen her since so-and-so. Yeah, well. They had that moment where they just got burned out, whatever it might have been. For others, their utility remains, their progress continues, they continue to move toward the goal, G-O-A-L, G-O-L-D, having been purified by the trial that proved that they are the ones that should go forward. And the proof is that they're still standing, they're still moving, they're still progressing, and they're still doing so in good character, good metal. And the others, whatever. They're somewhere in the margins barking back and complaining and backbiting and blah, blah. Just trust me. It's like, brother and sister, understand this. I want to get away. I don't want nobody to hang on like I got one of them. Y'all old enough, it wasn't Three Stooges, Niagara Falls kind of thing. You know, it's like, nah, it's like, man, if I could tell you, let me see something. I was looking at my heart rate here. I want you to understand how cool I am. It's like, what my heartbeat, I guess, is up a little bit. 75 beats, 76 beats. That's not when I'm exercising, because it goes. I got to get it up. What I'm trying to point out to you is, even as I say these things, I'm cool. And my invitation is for you to be cool. But I want you to understand some of the things that all of us face every day. You know, when you think about, because we are a community. You know. Yeah, sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Where they at now? How come they did? They used to and they don't. Now, okay, mashallah. That's it. They made a decision based on whatever it was that they had to face, that this is the right way for them to go. And maybe they're better off wherever they are. Alhamdulillah. Maybe Allah sets up the situation for them to go forward. But I need to get away from this. All right, so the point is to understand that that's life, right? And so the line that we want to bring to you is that the aim of the metagame of life of Al-Islam is to grow your soul's potential in the midst of the trials of life. See, all these things, we talk about this growth, all that, establishing the five pillars of Al-Islam. Yeah, you got to do that. That's every day. You got to do that. But you're not doing that in a vacuum. You have to do that while you face everything else you have to face in life that is challenging. You may have a husband that's challenging, a wife that's challenging, or the absence of a husband, absence of a wife. You know, you have the children that are the challenges, the economy and its challenges, and, you know, problems with the house and problems with your car and whatever else that happens naturally in living, you still have to deal with that without neglecting your soul. You have to deal with that without cutting back in a bad way. Let's say, cutting back on your practice of Al-Islam, and I'm talking about the five pillars of Al-Islam. When you got to do that. But the point is, you have to do both of them at the same time, right? And the practice of Al-Islam has to be like, right, that ain't even an option. Stop. There's no option. Boom. I got to do that. I don't feel like praying. Pray anyway. You know? you have any wealth, any resources, et cetera, charity may be the very way that you need in order to get that blessing that you don't know how is going to come. And the very fact that if you would do the charity in the moment, like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was in tough shape, he wouldn't help somebody else need his help. And then he made dua to Allah, and Allah blessed him with more than he had any quote-unquote right or reason to expect. And Allah blessed him with everything. Okay, well, that's a principle operating for us. So no matter how bad your situation is, you have to continue to practice sitting down, moping, turn the lights out in a fetal position. That ain't doing nothing. It's not going to change anything except your condition and make it worse. So let's get away from that. So the point is that there's this dual function that we have to undergo. Keep your al-Islam in practice. That's the meta game. You need to do that because that's the base upon which everything else is going to be done well, right? Now, in the secular thing and those avenues, here's Muhammad, mashallah. He's our model, and here's an example. Economics, right? From the economic perspective, I ain't got no money. Okay, so this man came to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're talking about economic life now. So this man came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't have any wealth. I need some charity. The Prophet said, what do you have? He said, I don't have anything. He said, Prophet, what do you have? Well, I got this broken bowl, and I got this piece of cloth. The Prophet said, give it to me. So the Prophet took the bowl, took the cloth, went to the marketplace, said, who will give me one dirham for this, right? So the Prophet articulated what he had up to. Oh, you need to look at the paperclip experiment. Look that up, so you can find a very important analogy for this, the paperclip experiment. Don't think about Operation Paperclip with CIA and the German scientists, not that one. The giant paperclip that got articulated into a house. It went from a paperclip all the way up to a house by just bartering. So the paperclip experiment, bartering. Oh. Okay, so the Prophet, peace be upon him, he took it, and then he went and bought an axe head. So it's like axe head. And then he took the axe head and strapped it to a handle, you know, take the stick, strap it to a handle, so now he's got a hatchet. So he took the hatchet, gave it to the man, and told the man, said, now go and chop wood and make money selling it, and don't come back to me for 2 weeks. So that's what the Prophet told him. Go chop wood with this. Point is, that, what you might understand, that is capitalism. Capitalism, quote unquote, yeah, put big air quotes on it, right? So don't get all sentimental and emotional about it. Yeah, what capitalism really means in the best sense of it, it means taking resources and making those resources profitable, right? Articulating them into profit. Of course, we know about the misuses of it. But the point is that the man didn't think he had anything. The Prophet knew he had something. That's why the Prophet continued to ask him, I know you got something. Right? And so the Prophet took what he had, articulated, and created a wherewithal for that person to be able to provide for themselves and not require charity. Right? So the Prophet, peace be upon him, models for us how we have to, inside of whatever it is that we're doing, we can make advancements and make progress. So, but whatever that might be, you have to grow from unconscious incompetent, conscious competent, conscious incompetent, conscious competent, unconscious competent in that area, right? And in so doing, now that's where your achievement comes. So you want to, you have to advance yourself in the presence of whatever trial. So right now, maybe you might be being tried economically, right? I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do that. First, be a believer. Be a Muslim. Trust that Allah is the provider. Allah says in the Quran, who is it? How many creatures is it in the world? God is saying, in the world that I've created, how many creatures don't carry their resources on their backs? meaning that how many creatures in the world is it that depends on something outside of themselves for them to be provided for? And Allah says in the Quran, He provides for all of them. He provides for all of them. How many creatures don't carry their food on their back? You understand? And that's what God is telling us. And look, everything, yeah, everything you need is out there somewhere. But what you need on the inside is the faith that I, the creator of the heavens and the earth, am the provider. So, but that, see, that would be built from your foundation of the practice of al-Islam. If you practice prayer, if you practice zakat, if you practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as model, then you already have the mentality, you have the disposition, you'll have the mental that al-Islam calls for, so that when you face difficulty, and for which a believer is all good, and you understand it's a trial, so it's like, okay, how do I get over this trial? Well, this is the part that we're not going to be able to get to so much today, but the point is that once you understand that it's a problem, and once you have the recognition that, well, that's the nature of life, that's life, and you know that Allah provides for whoever he will, and it could be anything. It could be, again, your husband, your wife, et cetera. We're just using economics right now. And so you already know Allah is going to provide for you, all right? So you got to give God something to bless. Making sure. You got to give Allah something to bless. Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, in this situation, he did something, and then he went and asked Allah, bless me, right? And then Allah blessed him. Okay, well, that's the principle. That's how it works. But make sure everything else that you're supposed to have in order is in order. Hadith of Muhammad. That's why you got to have both the Quran and the Sirah, the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and you be familiar with the reports of the prophets. So you can they come in more so automatically. Okay, time's going. But the prophet, he says, because I'm saying you got to be doing both of these things. He said, there's a man that raises his hand asking Allah, saying, Lord, Lord, right? And then the Hadith Qudusi, Allah is saying, he said, but his food is haram, his drink is haram, his garments are haram. How can he expect an answer from Allah? See, he wasn't playing the meta game al-Islam before he made the dua. You don't make the dua and all your other stuff is dirty. You have to get that straight in order for your dua to get delivered in the way it should be delivered. That's why you have to do both, right? You have to grow your soul's potential in the midst of the trials of life. And that's where the third portion of it comes in, which we'll get to at another time, inshallah. And you have to do that against the works of shaitan. So basically, it's kind of like three environments that you have to be conscious of, taqwa, right? One, conscious of your practice of al-Islam. Two, conscious of the nature of life and its trials. Three, conscious of the works of shaitan. Like, if you want to call it juggling, then that's what you got to do. What am I doing for my soul? What am I doing to deal with the things that are challenging me in life, the progress that I need to make, not making the obstacles that I have to get beyond, et cetera, problems that I have to solve. That's number two. And number three, what is shaitan? How is his influence coming in? Where is the influence? Is there any influence from shaitan in all of what's going on with me? Because listen, there are some things that happen in our life, they are simply the trials of Allah. It's not from shaitan. That's the trials of life. It's not. But now shaitan will get into the mix. Shaitan will get into the mix. I know it's funny on one level. It's not funny. But, I mean, once you understand, once you see the drama, I think at one level, it's funny. I know when things get really bad, it's like, that's funny. No, but I think you understand what I'm saying. It's like once you say, yeah, here comes shaitan. That's how he does, right? And once you understand, inshallah, and you can only do so with the help and the grace of Allah, and I don't want to take any of it for granted, even in this moment. This is a taqwa moment also. It's like, why are you laughing? Why are you saying this? Why are you saying that? Make sure you watch that door that shaitan can come through when you become inattentive about what you're saying, and he gets that little virus in you that can grow to become something else. So no, MashaAllah, inshallah, and I make dua for Allah's protection always, even at that moment. And I'm just, let that be an example also of taqwa. Taqwa is like, even when you're having fun, even if you find something funny, even if you find something interesting, even if you find something insightful, watch out. Shaitan, he never rests. And he will try to undo the good things and make it a bad thing and undermine you. He is your open enemy. And this is what I'm saying. It's like, and this is what Al-Islam is telling us. It's like, you got to watch out for Shaitan. You got to do all three things. Practice your Al-Islam, make it firm, and all that that entails. Progress in the world over and against the challenges that are naturally going to face you as you try to make progress in all areas. And then watch out for the shaitan, who don't want you to succeed in none of them. All right? We do that, inshallah, we will be fine. MashaAllah, so we're not going to take any comments today, but feel free tomorrow if you want to bring up any of this. When we go, let me go ahead. Don't make me regret it. Let's do this. 316, you got a comment? Who am I talking to? Hello, going once. You might be muted, going twice. All right, so I tried. It's on the record. All right, alhamdulillah, everybody. Thank you so much for your time and your attention. May Allah guide us to the best. Oh, here I have a question. Let me put it out there first. It says, should I be a believer first before converting to Islam? It seems that it may take me a while to climb to. Yeah, no. This is, you've touched on a very important piece that I haven't gotten to, mashallah. Maybe next week or next Juma I'll be able to get to it. But I'll say it briefly. In fact, I'll do it without looking at any notes because it's taking too much time. No, when you come to Al-Islam, I'm telling you now, Lydia, if you have a Holy Quran, go to the 49th chapter and verses 14 and 15. 49th chapter of the Quran, verses 14 and 15. And in essence, what it says, the desert Arabs say we believe. They claim to be believers, but they claim to be believers prematurely. It says, no, you have, but don't say you're a believer, but say you have submitted. That says, say you're Muslim, right? So no, you become a Muslim when you decide there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and you make that declaration, okay, you become a Muslim. Okay, well, that's you at the bottom of the pyramid of the example that I've given, the model that I've given. So now you start to learn and study. And that's how you progress. And as you study, you practice, and you get better and better at doing the things in the way that Al-Islam says you should do, the way that you should make your prayer, the way that you should relate to your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, et cetera. You practice Al-Islam. What does Islam say about this part of my life? What does Islam say about that part of my life? As a Muslim, you are learning and you are practicing those things so you can do it in the way that a Muslim does. And so therefore, and that's it. Now, as you progress in that, then you'll come to that point where you are a believer. And all of those, all doing all the things that Al-Islam dictates for you will come automatically. And everybody's on the speaker and everybody else, you know, who is a Muslim is striving. And here's the thing to understand about the believer. One of the great scholars of Al-Islam, it says, only the hypocrites are certain of their faith, and only the believers doubt it. Right? What do you mean? He's saying that a hypocrite, I know I'm a believer. He said, you're suspect. The believer has some doubts about their faith. They carry some doubts about it. No, I could be better. No, I'm not as good as I think I am, et cetera. And I have other hadith to support with that. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Lydia. Thank you for the question. Inshallah, that will continue to be a benefit. May Allah guide you in your Islamic life. All right, everybody. God's peace be on you. Everybody have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.